This is the story. Stories of people, of nations, of the world, of yesterday and today, and the meaning they hold for tomorrow.
The Armed Forces Radio Service presents We Hold These Truths by Norman Corwin, starring Lieutenant Colonel Jimmy Stewart and Orson Welles, with Walter Houston, Bob Burns, Edward Arnold, and Charles Lawton. This program, one of the most famous of all time, was originally broadcast over all four networks on December 15, 1941, 1 week after Pearl Harbor. We Hold These Truths, the dramatic story of the Bill of Rights.
"150 years is not long in the reckoning of a hill, but to a man it's long enough." "150 years is a weekend to the redwood tree, but to a man it's 2 full lifetimes. 150 years is a twinkle to a star, but to a man it's time enough to teach 6 generations what the meaning is of liberty, how to use it, when to fight for it.
Have you ever been to Washington, your capital? Been there lately? Well, let me tell you, it's a place of buildings and of boom and bustle, of the fever of emergency, of workers working overtime, of windows lighted late into the night. It's a handsome city, proud of its sturdy name, proud of the men who stopped there and made decisions, proud of its domes and lawns and monuments. Of course, Washington is like some other cities you've seen. It has streetcars, haberdasheries, newsstands, coffee shops, and slums. At busy intersections, there are neon traffic signs, which, when the light's against you, say, "Don't walk." And when the light changes, "Walk." It's a tourist city, which is proper when you think how much of history a busy guide can cover in a day, and when you realize that the District of Columbia belongs to all the people of the states. The tourists know that here their voices have been heard from clear back home, that here their votes are put to work. The tourists go to see the sights they've seen in 1,000 pictures of, sights so famous and familiar that they're thrilled to find they look, well, they look just like they thought they looked. Washington Monument, for example, or the Lincoln Memorial, where the seated and relaxed Abe Lincoln sits between 2 mighty murals of plain words, his own words.
"With firmness in the right, as God gives us to see the right, let us strive on to finish the work we are in, to do all which may achieve and cherish a just and lasting peace among ourselves and with all nations."
The city moves on busily outside the monument. The tourist goes to see the Capitol, White House, the museums, sees all about him statues and inscriptions and more sayings he's ever seen in his life before. They're wise sayings, profound sayings. At the Union Station, for example.
"A man must carry knowledge with him if he would bring home knowledge. Samuel Johnson."
The Archives Building.
"What is past is prologue."
The Supreme Court.
"Justice, the guardian of liberty."
But one of the best is in the Library of Congress.
"The noblest motive is the public good." Virgil.
Now, the tourist thinks that over.
"The noblest motive is the public good."
And with this in mind, he climbs the marble stairs inside the library to come at length upon a case containing a handwritten document.
"Engrossed original of the Constitution of the United States of America."
He sees that the manuscript is aging, that its words are worn as though from use. The writing's dim, hard to make it out. It's getting on in years.
We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, to ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America. Article 1, Section 1. All legislative.
The words are dim, but not the meaning of the words. The pens that put this down are dust, but not the marks they made. There was a time when this was shining parchment, when the text was easier to read, when the ink was not yet dry. Suppose that we stopped here in modern Washington before this shrine, were to return, go back a little north by east in time and space to one bright afternoon in Philadelphia. That fine fall day when deputies from 12 free states subscribed their names to a new blueprint of a new society.
And of the independence of the United States the 12th, in witness whereof we have hereunto subscribed our names, George Washington, President, and Deputy from Virginia.
Now, gentlemen, we are ready for your signatures by geographical progression north to south. The deputies from New Hampshire will pre-sign first. John Langdon.
Nicholas Gilman.
The delegates from Massachusetts.
Good-looking men, these. They're mostly lawyers. Two or three of them surgeons.
Rufus King.
The gentleman from Connecticut, please. William Samuel.
Broom, there. Broom of Delaware. He did surveying for a while.
Roger Sherman.
And now our representative.
Sherman, who just signed. He was a shoemaker before he studied law.
The gentleman from New Jersey.
That's Washington calling the delegation.
David Brearley. The gentleman from.
The man behind Ben Franklin is Alexander Hamilton. Ben's getting old now, 81. Hey, he slept off and on throughout the whole convention. But when it was important to be awake, he was awake all right and active.
Charles Coatsworth Pinckney.
Ah, there have been men assembled in a room before, but never to a greater purpose.
The other.
Well.
Abraham Baldwin.
Here comes the last to sign now.
William Jackson, Secretary.
So, the Constitution has been drafted, signed, and presently will be submitted to the states for their approval. Now, the convention's all relaxed now. There are handshakes, felicitations. Is everybody happy? Will they celebrate, do you suppose? Will Rufus King go home to Boston and be welcomed by a welcoming committee from the city? Will appreciative Virginians hoist James Madison on their shoulders and parade him through the streets, shouting, "Father of the Constitution"? Will a thumping band march up and down the town making a noise like this? No. There will be no band.
And I say to you, ladies and gentlemen, the heart of every man and woman, nay, of every child in each and every one of our 13 states, from the rock-bound shores of Maryland to the golden sands of Georgia, should fill and swell with pride on reading the noble and glorious Constitution, which our wise and prudent and far-sighted representatives in solemn assembly have framed and admitted to our glorious states for their approval. And I say to you,
no, there will be no speeches. There will be no celebration, no confetti from the windows, fireworks saluting cannon, roses strewn beneath the coaches of the delegates. Instead, suspicion. Suspicion by the very men who fought the long fight so that there could be a constitution drawn for the emancipated states. The farmers and the clerks and the hackmen and the artisans and the grease-grimed blacksmiths in their shops. These men who only lately put away their guns and powder in a good dry place. These men who won a war of freedom. but who know that freedom must be guarded to be kept. And they're suspicious. And they're talking in the common, in the tavern, and in the parlor, and in the foundry room.
All right, what else does it say?
Well, that covers it. That's the whole thing.
Constitution. I don't like it.
Why?
Come here with me. Come over at the door. See that spire?
Yeah.
That's a church I go to.
Well, what about it?
I like it. I'm a God-fearing man. I want to keep on going there.
Well?
Don't want anybody telling me I have to pray his way.
Well, who'd think of doing that?
It's been done. It happened often. You ever hear of state religion?
Yes.
Bad. I don't like it. Don't think we should have it.
Well, we haven't got it.
Nothing in that thing you read me guarantees we won't get it.
Didn't think it was necessary. The English thought it was necessary 100 years ago. They've got a Bill of Rights. Where's ours?
Well, maybe they'll get around to that. Maybe they'll amend the Constitution later.
How do we know they will?
Well, maybe they're planning some...
I don't like this maybe business. When my husband Robert got killed at Trenton, there was no maybe about it. He got killed. He knew what he was fighting for, and he was glad to die for it. Now the fighting's over. I want to see it.
What's the hurry? Give them time. It's not an easy job to get a new country running right.
That's just the point. It's a lot easier to get it running wrong.
Rights, 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 man. Can't you get that through your head? Why shouldn't rights be written into the Constitution just as much as rules on how to meet and when to vote and how much a senator should get paid?
Not they alone. Not only little men like they, whose names escape us, whose names will never be recalled. The men who left their bloody footprints in the snows of Pennsylvania and buried their comrades in a clearing back of a clump of evergreens. The little men who took it, gave it, stuck for the duration, saw it through. Not they alone are doubters, wondering and grumbling, no. There are big names, too. Names now bandied on the tongue, but later to be lustrous, later to be sainted. Tom Jefferson, George Mason, Jimmy Madison, Pat Henry. Now, take Jefferson, for instance. You know what he says?
Bill of Rights is what the people are entitled to against any government on earth.
I'll take Pat Henry.
I cannot give my oath to support this Constitution without a Bill of Rights.
Well, then, the Constitution is in peril. This document, so handsomely engrossed in Philadelphia, there are doubts about it and suspicions. Will the states approve of it? Approve by ratifying? Will they throw it out? Or will they ratify providing certain changes will be made? The writing's fresh, still fresh upon the parchment. The text is clean, the ink is bold, the meaning clear. Only the worth of the Constitution is uncertain. All the points, the articles, the regulations are well put. But will they be well taken? The states decide. Not one man, two men, three men, but the states united. They decide. What says South Carolina?
We ratify it off of 4 amendments.
What says Massachusetts, where she stands?
We ratify it off of 9 amendments.
New Hampshire, you?
We ratify but proposed 12 amendments.
Rhode Island?
We ratify but 21 amendments, please.
North Carolina?
26 amendments and the Declaration of Men's Rights.
Virginia?
We ratify but we're suggesting 29 amendments and a Bill of Rights.
New York?
33 amendments and full faith and respect. And we ratify.